This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham.
The Food and Drug Administration held a hearing today on CBD, an extract of the cannabis plant. The FDA wants to collect more information about CBD, which is already found in products such as candy, oils, drinks, and even dog food. CBD is becoming popular for treating things such as chronic pain and other ailments, despite confusion about its legal status. Joining us to talk about that is Kevin Banky. He's the researcher at the Department of Anesthesiology and the Chronic Pain and Fatigue Research Center at the University of Michigan Medical School. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
First, tell us what CBD is.
So CBD is cannabidiol. It's a non-intoxicating component in the cannabis plant. And at this point, there's a lot of excitement about it, as you said, about its therapeutic potential. And a lot of this is coming into place after the FDA-approved Epidiolex, a CBD-based product for childhood epileptic disorders like Dravet syndrome. So because it was shown to be effective in that, there's now a lot more opportunities for people to use it at this point, not necessarily the Epidiolex itself because it's so expensive, but because now CBD is FDA approved for some indication, people are thinking, okay, where else can we use this and how can we use it effectively?
One of the big questions is, in Michigan, is CBD oil or CBD products of any kind, is it legal?
Kind of. It's really a squishy space to be in. So if CBD is coming from hemp, the cannabis plant that has less than 0.3% THC in it.
Which then, is the intoxicant.
Yep, exactly. Then it may be legal. In the 2018 Farm Bill that was recently signed, industrial hemp production was legalized. But how that's going to be regulated, the FDA hasn't really weighed in a very strong way. So they're taking public comments about it. But at this point, there are food products that contain CBD. There are gummies and supplements and tinctures that contain CBD. And there's just so much swirling around, and it's also a very lucrative market. So we have all these forces at play that are complicating the situation.
It's Wild West right now.
Absolutely.
What do we actually know about CBD as a medication?
It's a great question. Like I mentioned, so the FDA did approve CBD for childhood epileptic disorders. That being said, in terms of other conditions that there are many of these claims about, the body of research is quite limited. So at least in humans, in terms of animal studies, cell studies, CBD does seem to have anti-inflammatory activity. It does seem to be a useful agent in arthritis. And in a few studies in humans, it seems to have anti-anxiety properties, but those are high dose, single dose studies. So people given CBD once and seeing what happens.
So not a lot of research.
Not a lot of research.
Not enough research anyway. And years away from FDA approval, because that takes a long time. That's a process in itself.
Likely, yeah. It's also the type of thing, though, that because there's all that preclinical research where the mechanisms of action seem to be promising, people have been saying, well, because CBD is for a long time has been a Schedule I substance because it comes from the cannabis plant, this lack of research has actually clamped down the what we could know about the therapeutic benefits of this compound. And so similarly to what happened and is what is still happening in the medical cannabis space, we're in this position where the policy about the access to CBD and medical cannabis, for that matter, is so far ahead of the science. So as scientists, we're kind of scrambling to catch up to do the best that we can.
How much is the opioid crisis contributing to this interest in CBD?
I think it's contributing quite substantially for a couple reasons. So one, just the human cost of the opioid crisis is so horrific that people want to find something that they can do in its place. And two, many of the chronic pain medications and interventions that a lot of people use either are expensive or not accessible. So things like, you know, good physical therapy, massage, acupuncture, yoga, things that are evidence-based, there's issues with access and out-of-pocket expense. In terms of medications, those come with pretty significant side effects a lot of times. So opioids, obviously, overdose and death. But a lot of other medications, too, they have effects on mood, on appetite, on just all kinds of things as well as pain. And they don't work that well in every individual. So people are still going to, you know, have to figure out what's best for them and often end up taking multiple medications. So when you have compounds like CBD that are available that are known to be quite well tolerated and fairly safe in a lot of people, we end up in this situation where, you know, people out of desperation want to go for compounds like CBD. The other thing is, on the opioid side of things, there's actually a clinical trial that came out just a few days ago that found that people who are recovering from heroin addiction, so an opioid, obviously, when they are given high doses of CBD, that seems to reduce some of their cravings for heroin. And so part of this emerging body of research that's coming out that people are so excited about, because if CBD has this therapeutic potential and it has few side effects, this is a really wonderful substance that people could potentially use. And I think what's happening is many people are just jumping the gun and going into that as a DIY situation.
And that brings me to this question. I'm sure a lot of people are asking their physicians about it. What are physicians recommending at this point?
So that depends a lot on the physician. I'm not a physician, I'm a PhD, but my stance at this point when I talk to many physicians is, let's go with a harm reduction situation. So we know that CBD is well tolerated, but we also want to make sure that people are using it in a responsible way. Starting with a low dose of a product that is known to be certified for safety and potency. So we know what's in it in terms of, yes, the CBD matches what the claim is, as well as it doesn't have heavy metals, pesticides, etc. We suggest doing that if the patient is going to do it. And we also really suggest keeping a open line of communication between the patient and physician, because that's the basis of a successful relationship there. And I mentioned the safety and potency issue because just recently a news report came out stating that many, many CBD products are contaminated either with heavy metals, with pesticides, with solvents from the extraction process. And so because this is such a Wild West situation, it's really important that people are using a product that they know what's in it.
But how would you know? I mean, is there some place that's actually certifying them, saying this, we've tested it, this batch is great, and there's no problems with it, or is it we're just relying that the label's right?
So that's where the independent third-party testing is really important. So companies that they send their products out to somebody who's not internal, and that produces a certificate of analysis that indeed shows you all of those things. But, you know, because it is a Wild West situation, I mean, you can go on Amazon and get hundreds of products of different products, and it's just a difficult place to be as a consumer as well, and as a physician for that matter, because if the patient comes in and says, hey, I want to try CBD, unlike a pharmaceutical where a doctor can say, okay, let's go with this one. It's gone through all the FDA testing. It has the good manufacturing practices, all that stuff. They just don't have that for CBD in the same way.
So some NFL players are pushing for the league to loosen up the rules to allow CBD. Battered football players want access to it because of the claims about the substance. It's said that CBD can do everything from preventing seizures to treating all these kinds of chronic pain issues. Why is it so popular among them?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons for this. One is that these athletes, their bodies go through an incredible amount of trauma. You know, the practice that they do, the hits that they take on the field mean that many of them have lifelong injuries. And to stay in the game, a lot of the time, many of them are given painkillers, including opioids. And I think many of the retired athletes, I've spoken to a couple, but in the news that I've seen about it, many of them say, you know, this game really took it out of my body. And the medications made things worse. I couldn't feel what was happening. So I would push past my limits, do whatever it is. And CBD doesn't have that kind of side effect profile. As we've talked about, it's pretty well tolerated and it's not intoxicating. So I think there's that aspect of things. And then also just the mechanistic side of things. We know that CBD has many of these effects in non-human studies. And so people are thinking, okay, let's just see what's possible there.
Gets back to that desperation you were talking about.
Gets back to that desperation, exactly. And I think lastly, the fact that cannabis is becoming increasingly legal throughout the country in many of these states that do have football teams. And because of that, I think there's kind of a mismatch between the NFL policy of, you know, nobody can use this versus the state policy where people can get a license and then go to a dispensary or grow their own cannabis. It's kind of the situation that's playing out throughout the country, but in that microcosm of these athletes who, you know, suffer from a lot of pain.
Sounds like we've got a lot to learn yet.
Yes, we do.
That is Kevin Behnke. He's a researcher in the Anesthesiology Department and Chronic Pain and Fatigue Research Center at the University of Michigan Medical School. We've been talking about CBD. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.